Time for our second guest of this hour, and he is Murray Legg, who is the head of global strategy at influencer platform Webfluential. The guy's educated. He holds a PhD in engineering and leads strategic business thinking at Webfluential. He wrote an op-ed, which is fascinating. It talks about the fact that your AI strategy won't matter if trust isn't on the table. We're going to get into that in a big way. Murray, thank you for joining us on Chai FM this afternoon.
Thanks so much for having me, Simon. Really appreciate it.
Just talk to me about Webfluential. Let's give you some context. I want to understand what that company is and what it does.
Oh, sure. So we're a platform, much like an Airbnb connects hosts and guests. We connect content creators and brands. So we enable, whether they're FMCG brands, automotive, anything that's looking to get a message across to an audience, we've got an ecosystem of great content creators, and they produce the message and distribute it to their audience. That could result in sales or awareness or anything in between.
So that brings us really nicely onto your op-ed, because you speak about the fact that your AI strategy won't matter if trust isn't on the table. I think most people would imagine that AI was going to deal with the entire issue for you. Take us into the reasoning of your article and why you wrote what you wrote.
Okay, perfect. I mean, we've all really enjoyed the benefits of AI. So, you know, we've stared at a blank page and said, I don't know what to write, I don't know what to include. AI has really helped solve that for us. So it's brilliant at producing content and helping us with creative ideas, mm-hmm. and it's only going to get better. So I think, you know, the human response to that has been one of, you know, typically threat, where people are saying, shit, this thing is going to replace us. But what the line of thinking is actually going on is that anyone can produce content, or yeah. any AI can produce content, but what you actually want to do is be able to validate that. So, you know, any LLM can produce an article or a website to say that a business does a particular thing, but now we actually have to look to the people. And in the same way that, you know, we've heard the narrative about how the doctors will be done out of their businesses, but the nurses will stay, you know, still having work to do.
Yes.
It's quite similar in conversation. If, you know, you can read anything you want, but unless you've got that validation from humans that you know and trust, you don't really have to believe the article. So, you know, human intelligence and artificial intelligence are finding a really nice balance between the two. And that was sort of what we went and fleshed out a little bit.
It's very difficult concepts to get your head around if you're not deeply involved in the area which you are. I'm trying to understand when you talk about an ideal balance between AI-driven efficiency and human authenticity, how does one arrive at that balance? What is that balance? What does it look like?
I mean, maybe a way to think about it is an example that that we had. So we were involved in working with Volkswagen for the Golf GTI release, and when the brand produces all of the information about it and all the claims, that's all good and well. But what they really wanted to do was they wanted to get responses from the humans out there that know and love that particular vehicle. So we generated 320,000 engagements in a campaign that we ran for them.
Mm-hmm.
And as a result, the search engines and the large language models ingested those. And then when you ran a query about the new Golf, you got a distilled feedback. You know, it sort of ingested all of the comments from all the people and said, this is a summary of what the people believe about this. Here's the technical specs, which is, you know, claimed, but actually this is how people reacted, how they feel, what they like, what they don't. So it's really being able to get that distilled human intelligence and human view onto things. And, you know, if that's an example for commerce, you could get an example of that for anything that is involved in your business, as to what is the truth of it? What do the people say about it? Not just what's happened to be written by an AI agent.
Oh, that's a little bit manipulative, though, because you're only using the good feedback. You're certainly not going to be including the negative feedback. I mean, at the end of the day, it's still advertising to sell a product. It's not truth seeking.
No, but that was the point, is to get the honest responses, because you
Ah,
want to
now
make
that's
a
more
difference
interesting.
between,
Okay.
yeah, you want to get the truth, because you want to see the 5 stars and the 1 stars and see both sides of it, where an AI will only give you the gloss in terms of its writing about a particular topic. Now you want human feedback to say, we love this, we hate this, and here's everything in between.
Murray, you know what scares me about your world? This is quite old already, probably about 2, 3 years ago. I remember reading about a restaurant which had made the number one restaurant in the UK in TripAdvisor. The only problem was it didn't exist. Somebody, I mean, that's the extent to which this stuff can be manipulated. Is that off the table now? Have things moved on that couldn't happen? Can we trust these technologies a little more? It's a little scary to think that the number one restaurant in the UK didn't actually exist.
I think as much as technology advances, there's always going to be that bleeding edge where the gaming of what the technology can and can't do is going to be up for grabs. So I think, in a
Fair
world of
enough.
AI, for all of us, we have to be more aware of impersonation, phishing, all of the cybersecurity kind of downside that comes together with it, because we'll be able to quite quickly get onto a WhatsApp chat with someone that you think might be your dad, but it's actually just an AI agent that sounds and looks and feels like them, but it's not actually them. So, it could be quite interesting, but yeah, I think, just from Google's perspective, that's why they now index social media. They never used to, but as of July this year, they now they do, because they weren't trusting the websites that they were reading or crawling, and they had to get some input from the humans.
Very, very fascinating stuff you're saying. It's so quickly moving, it's evolving at such a fast rate. I mean, anybody who says they know where this is all going to land up just is pulling your leg, because they don't. I mean, I don't know. I think we're all going to be sitting on Clifton Beach getting our government salaries once a month to sit and do nothing, because we'll be utterly useless in this new world by the looks of things.
Yeah, it's going to be a definitely an interesting next 5 to 10 years, any which way they go.
That's for sure. Back to your article. You mentioned using just 50 real people posting about a particular product, and that was said to have dramatically improved its visibility in AI search results and the like. How did that work? How could so few people make such a significant impact?
Yeah, so part of our role in the ecosystem where we're working with brands and social media is to run our own experiments to see what the current state of the art is, and then by learning from that we can pass on those learnings to our ecosystem. So when anyone runs a search now on Google, it'll come up with the recommended AI results. So you can't pay to be at the top of the list necessarily. You have to feature in those AI results. And one
Interesting.
of the ways to get in there is to get people to talk about your brand. So you mentioned TripAdvisor, you get DinePlan or Google Reviews. Any of these review elements are now starting to shape where you are recommended. So the experiment we ran with 50 people was to leave honest reviews about our own business, and then compare between 2 months, just where we featured in those AI results. And we saw a significant increase where we didn't feature at all to being at the top of it. So, I mean, for any business owner that's listening, I'd suggest that they ask AI, whether it's ChatGPT or on Google, which is the best restaurant for or service provider for their particular category, and see where they feature. And if they've come up on top, that's kudos to them. But if they're not, then the way to do that is to start thinking about their current customers, to start talking about them in a social setting, because that's actually going to drive more traffic and more sales for them.
That's a very
So they need the
valuable,
people, which you never thought. In the age of AI, it's actually that you need the people to grow your business.
That's actually really hopeful what you're saying, because then there's more integrity in the process, and those of us like me who's skeptics can actually trust the results. You apparently have said that South African brands have a unique opportunity to stand out, and the question is then, what makes our market particularly suited to this human-first approach?
What I love about South Africa and Africa is we are all storytelling cultures. And if we think about, all of our cultures and all of the stories that have been passed down between generations, it's the stories that we remember. And part of a narrative for being remembered on the internet is that same process. It's just capturing it in a digital format. So, where South Africa stands to benefit is we all dialed into that storytelling nature. Whether it's gossip or whether it's a long form op-ed narrative, or something in between, it's all valuable. So South Africans have wonderful stories to tell, and they love to share those on social. So it's only going to stand to benefit not just businesses, but movements, change that we want in our country, all of those sorts of things. The stories that we share are going to be the things that start coming back in the culture to shape the information that comes out of that.
Final question for you. What kind of advice would you give to smaller local business or community-driven brands that want to apply these insights but who don't have large budgets?
So I would recommend that they think about word of mouth, and word of mouth in the form of a digitized way. So are they running a referral campaign where they can ask their happy customers, even if they've got, 10 or 50 customers that they have delighted in some way, is to get those customers to share those stories on a Google review or on a Facebook page, and then tell the people that they know to try out that service. So if you think about just how easy that is, if you have 10 customers, each of them invite one friend to try it out, you've effectively doubled your business size. And it didn't cost you anything. You can reward or incentivize any of them, but that's where content creation, curation, and word of mouth starts, is as easy as that. But it has significant effects on particularly small businesses and how well they can grow.
Murray Legg of Webfluential, you kind of blew my mind this afternoon, I must say. You exposed me to things I didn't know were even happening out there, but thanks for the wake-up call.
Thank you for having me.
Only a pleasure. I want to go to the SMS line where, oh goodness, no, it seems to be the same issue. Let me not go there. There's nothing I can do about it. I apologize profusely if you are having issues hearing us this afternoon. 061-895-1019, that is the WhatsApp line.